Om Swastiastu and welcome to an episode of Being Bali. It's great being back, recording more and more episodes. I'm sorry for the very, very extremely long gap in between. I was completing my PhD and hopefully now I'm as educated as ever, even though the more you learn, the more you know that you don't know. So a lot more learning and a lot more digging. And I'm really, really happy now to finally be able to do this more full-time, teaching and making content. And, you know, obviously spreading the knowledge so that all of you will get the benefit of it. So a lot of my content has been in Indonesian, and Being Bali is one of those avenues where I do make content in English. So if this is what you're looking for and this is what you're interested in, I'll definitely be making more. So in this episode of Being Bali, we're going to be talking about Malukat. Is basically going to a temple where there is a spring, or also going to the house of a holy person, like a priest or a priestess, who can make holy water, right? It also can be done actually by the sea, at the sea itself, with the seawater, and it can also be done at some other sacred rivers or waterfalls. So Malukat is not constricted to only certain venues. Malukat is the action itself. Malukat simply means to purify, or a purificatory bath. I'm not so sure if I said that right. But yeah, it is quite similar to the water purification or the water healing that you have in other religions and in other traditions. So water basically can hold a lot of energy, right? Water is a source of life. That's one thing. Yes, there's hydrogen and there's oxygen. However, water can also carry sentiment, or can also carry feelings, as well as carry energies and sound. So when water is chanted with a particular mantra, the mantra enters into the waters and modify or change the effect of the water itself, right? And water is said to be the most easily, the most receptive of all the elements in grasping, or in how should I say this, transmitting as well as storing energy, right? So to the Balinese themselves, water is extremely important, right? It's also important in Hinduism, but even more so in Balinese Hinduism. So Balinese Hinduism is a combination of the indigenous religion of Bali, which is actually very conveniently named Gama Tirtha, which means the religion or the way of water, or of holy water, with a mix of Hinduism and Buddhism, which obviously came from India via Java and then eventually to Bali, right? So you're not going to see Malukat in India. Instead, in India, you'd see people taking snan or simply bathing at holy rivers, holy ponds, or sometimes even at the sea. The Ganges or Ganga is obviously the most pure or the most sacred site in Hinduism. So what's really interesting is that in Indian Hinduism, right, you have a river, Ganga. However, the river Ganga or the Ganges, as you say in English, she is personified. The river is made into a person, right? And we see this a lot in Indian religions. They do take abstract concepts of nature and personify them, giving them a form, a name, a mythology, or a story, right? So Ganga, this is what happened to her. Now, in Bali, not exactly the same thing is done, but it's done as well, right? So for example, we have Dewi Danu, right? There is a lake, a crater lake or a caldera in Kintamani next to the Batur volcano. So Lake Batur, she is personified as a goddess, Dewi Danu. And she has stories associated with her. She has a family, she has husband, she has children. There's many stories and myths and temples dedicated to her. So you have a crater lake, Lake Batur, or the Batur Caldera, personified as Devi Danu. This isn't done in every single holy water spout or in every single sacred water temple. What the Balinese really respect or venerate when they're at a water temple would be the protective deities, usually ancestral deities, but also at times other creatures or other beings that guard or who take care of the spring or who take care of the river, right? So what is it? What is this water purification thing? Well, it's called Malukat, right? Malukat is a gerund. That basically means it is a progressive word or a progressive word, right? Like how you have ing in English. So play, playing, bathe, bathing. So the root word is lukat, right? And then when you're doing lukat, you are malukat, right? So lukat means to purify. So malukat means purifying. And then you have also malali, for example, right? Lali means to play. Malali means to be playing. Gae means to work. Magae means to be working. Tanding means to organize offerings. Matanding means to be organizing offerings, right? So you have like the ing. It means that it is currently happening or that it is an action. So malukat is basically this. It is purifying, right? So what's actually happening here? Well, first of all, they're purifying the body, right? Obviously, because you're in water and you're bathing. And water is refreshing and water is clean, just like how we take a shower. So similarly, this is like a very elaborate ceremonial way of be taking a shower. However, it's with more intention, of course. So it's done usually before a great or a big event, let's say a wedding or a graduation, or it's done on your birthday, or it's done at the time of your puberty, or it's also maybe done during a full moon or during a sacred or auspicious day. It's basically to cleanse oneself and to prepare yourself for something big, right? However, malukat is also used to get rid of whatever negativity or bad energy or even black magic that is stuck on you, right? So just like how you're cleansing the body physically, in this way you're also cleansing the body spiritually, right? So lukat actually doesn't necessarily directly translate into purifying. I would say it translates more into transforming, right? So we can learn a lot more about malukat from the Balinese Bhuta Yatnya. Bhuta Yatnya are sacrifices done for the demons. And this is not demon worship, but what actually happens here is that the demons, who are other lower entities that exist, that coexist with us humans, they are called or they are summoned. And then afterwards, they are given holy water to lukat. And what happens when they're given this holy water and when the mantras are chanted is that these demons are essentially transformed back into gods and transformed back into divinity, right? So in Balinese Hinduism or even in Hinduism in general, right? Everything is considered to be a spark of the divine, to be part of this great energy called Brahman, right? So you are Brahman, I am Brahman, the birds are Brahman, the trees are Brahman, but so are the demons. They are Brahman too, for they are alive. We just associate them as demonic or as bad, but essentially they are the same as us. So what are we doing when we're doing lukat? We are transforming them back into Brahman. We see that they are demonic, we see that they are bad, however, that's okay. We look at and we transform them into Brahman. In this way, we're neutralizing them and we're helping them as well. Because human, according to the Balinese philosophy, humanity is pretty much in the center of the universe, right? The nature is alive and nature possesses a soul, right? However, only humankind has the ability to save the lower creatures as well as to feed the gods and the ancestors through sacrifice. So as humans, we have to basically, essentially, keep the entire universe in check, in balance. Obviously, before we can transform the world, we have to transform ourselves, and this is what the Malukat is about. So not are we trying to transform the demons, not are we trying to summon them, not are we trying to transform them back into Brahman or see them as divinity, but we're doing that in our own bodies through Malukat. That's why Malukat is really important before doing anything ceremonial or anything big, because first you clean yourself, you stabilize yourself, you neutralize yourself, you transform whatever is good and whatever is bad in yourself as Brahman, you make yourself spiritual, then you partake in spiritual activity. In that way, you won't have any disturbances, right? So Malukat is not only to cleanse the body physically, but also to cleanse it spiritually by neutralizing the forces that are within you, right? So this isn't exorcism, or this isn't killing the demons or destroying the bad energy or sending the bad energy back. No, there's no hocus pocus, there's no bad juju, there's no such vibes. No. What essentially happens is, in my own words, it's recycling. It's a recycling process. So you are taking, you're doing the Malukat, and the bad energy that's within you, they are being neutralized. And they're being transformed, because through Malukat you're transforming, you are transforming them back into simply energy. Not good, not bad, simply energy. And you're returning it back to nature. And water can take this away from your body and letting it flow down to the river into the ocean. So water is purifying you by taking away this energy and neutralizing it, right? So what happens when you recycle? It can then come back again. So you are then throwing away this negativity and making it back into energy. And then later this energy can become something else, right? It can give life, just as water does. Or it can then transform into new energy, whether good or whether bad. So you're not destroying bad energy, you're neutralizing it. And this is essentially what is done at the Bhuta Yajna sacrifices, or at the sacrifices for the demons. But this is also what is done when you're doing Malukat, right? So the Balinese also do Malukat. It's not something that's reserved particularly for tourists. In fact, this is probably one of the most authentic things you can do in Bali. The locals won't go with Jujutsu. They won't be having a bintang by the beach. They won't really be joining you to a beach club. But they would do Malukat, and they would gladly allow you to do Malukat as well. Because guess what? Malukat is not only for Hindus or not only for the Balinese. Yes, it is out of Balinese culture, and it is imbued with Hindu teachings and Hindu philosophy. However, it's not reserved to a certain group of people. So it's not like a baptism where if you do a Malukat, you're suddenly Hindu, right? You don't have to pray. You don't have to worship. Malukat is simply going back to nature and letting nature, especially the element of water, purify you. That's it. Now, why do we bring offerings, right? So usually when we bring offerings, we're bringing offerings for someone or for something, right? Now, the Balinese really revere the unseen world, the unseen forces that guard and that protect the island, especially sacred sites, right? Sacred sites are more subject to attacks, spiritual attacks, or are more sensitive. And for that reason, they have unseen forces guarding it, or ancestral deities guarding it. So when we bring the offerings, that is essentially for them to make permission, to take permission. And also the offerings are for the water itself, because the water itself is venerated, is respected. It's such a great element that it can purify us. So as a thank you, we make these offerings to really treasure the fact that this water is helping us. Now, what sort of offerings the Balinese bring? You have the Chanang Sari, which is basically that square with the flowers on it. That's like the most basic and simple offerings. It's an offerings of leaves and flowers. We pair it with an incense, because the incense smoke is what carries the sari, or the essence of the offering to the gods, or in this case, to the element or to the guards, right? And then you sprinkle it again with water. And then what you do is you ngayap. So with your hands, right, you are, how do I explain this? If you can only see me, but you're basically waving the smoke and the essence of the offering towards the altar or towards the water spout, right? Ngayap basically means that you are essentially fanning or waving the offerings in that direction, okay? Now, besides the Canang Sari, you also have the Pajati, right? Or Pajati. And the Pajati offering is essentially like, I like to call it the gift baskets of the god, of the gods, right? Like if you go to someone's house, you should never go empty-handed. So similarly, if you go to a sacred place or a temple, bring a Pajati with you. A Pajati is basically a little basket full of goodies. There's cake, there's rice, there's snacks, there's fruits, there's coconut, incense and flowers, of course, holy water, of course. But this is like the best gift you can give to the gods or to the ancestors or to anyone really when visiting a temple, to any spirit, of course. And the Pajati is essentially asking them for permission and asking them for witness, right? So you're begging, hey, I'm a human being. I am going to do the Malukat ceremony. Please bear witness. Now, who are you asking the witness from? You're asking the witness from the elements, right? From the nature around you, from the sun, from the wind, right? The elements that are around you are witnessing the fact that you're doing the Malukat with pure intention. And they're here to hear your prayers, your intentions, and your manifestations, right? Your mantras. That's essentially your manifestations. When you're going to the water and you're saying, please make me healthy, please make me rich, or please purify me, the elements, the spirits, they are witnessing it, and they are hearing it, and the Pajati is begging for their witness in a very kind and gentle manner. Now, why do the Balinese do these things? We have to remember that the basic culture of the Balinese is that of respect. We know our place. We are humans and we are central to the entire cosmos. Yes, we do feed the gods, we feed the ancestors, we even feed the nature, and we also feed the demons. However, we have our own place and so do they. Therefore, respect. Or being hospitable is extremely, extremely important. So bringing offerings is a sign of respect. It's a physical indication of really, really respectfully begging for permission and begging for witness. Now there's another sort, there's many offerings, really, begging for purification, but then there's another one that I like to highlight, and it's called the Praschita or the Prayaschita. Prayaschita basically means atonement. So if you have done something wrong or something bad has happened to you, prayaschita is what neutralizes or what purifies it. And it usually has a young yellow coconut, which is like a small coconut, and it's very medicinal. And it has a lis. Lis is made of, it's a stylized palm leaf that's cut and shaped in a certain way, for it to look a little bit like a little broom. I think that's the best way I can describe it. Or a little sword, right? So palm leaves are pretty long and sharp, and they are yellow, greenish, light greenish to yellow in color. So the Balinese would shape this into a lis, and then this lis, L-I-S, is then invoked with the weapons of the gods. So the gods possess different weapons, right? There are 9 particular weapons that are famous in Bali, and these 9 weapons are then invited into the lis to then symbolize the weapons of the gods, and then this lis is what's dipped in the holy water and sprinkled in your household or sprinkled on your head, and then also dipped into the coconut water. So coconut water can also be used for Malukat. Coconut water is extremely medicinal by itself. What to speak of if you imbue it with special mantras, right? It's even more spectacular. Not only is it good for you, not only do you get your electrolytes, and not only is it medicinal, but it's also spiritually cleansing. So Malukat is not restricted only to the ocean, not restricted only to springs, nor rivers, but also to purified water with mantra or purified coconut water with mantra. And technically, you can also, I guess, do it with other liquids, but that's not as common. I guess you can do it with milk too, but I think that's a whole different... Yeah, I haven't really seen that being done before. But anyways, yeah, it's essentially like holy water that's being used. So you have the prayaschitta or the prasitta, you have the lis, you have the coconut, you have the pajati, you have the canang, right? So this is why malukat would cost you, because you are essentially paying for these offerings. A pajati usually costs approximately 50,000 rupiah. A prayaschitta or a prasitta, roughly around the same amount. You do not need to take a prasitta or a prayaschitta. It really depends on the temple that you're going to. However, what's great is that there are some temples here in Bali, like the Tirta Empul temple, for example. That's basically the best, not the best, but the most famous water temple in Bali. Now you can just go there and pay a certain fee, and they'll give you the sarong, they'll give you the offerings, and they'll guide you. There's also locker rooms where you can put your clothes in. So it's great. Remember, malukat is a wet affair, so don't forget to bring a change of clothes, and don't forget to bring your towel. And obviously, I'll make an episode about this, I swear, but woman, please do not be in your monthly cycle when you're doing your malukat, right? I'll explain why in another episode that's not to cover right now. So, yes, back to malukat. So the malukat is something that the Balinese would also do, right? It's not something that's only reserved for tourists, right? However, why do tourists do it? Is it just a gimmick? To be honest, I think it's one of the most authentic ways you can feel and experience Bali and Balinese culture. I don't think it's a gimmick. I think the Balinese are making money out of it, and that's honestly okay. It's their culture and they own it, and if they want to charge you, they charge you. I don't think they are extremely expensive or overpriced. Again, I told you the price of the offerings, right? 100,000 or 50,000 makes sense. If they're charging you more, it might be because they're borrowing you cloth as well, which then they have to launder or have to wash. And obviously also paying for their time and their energy to help you in your process of the purification. So I think an acceptable range of just the malukat itself would be maybe 150,000 up until 300,000. I think that is like an okay amount. If they're charging you more than 300,000 rupiah, then I think it's a bit overpriced. Unless if they're doing like a tarot reading or a face reading or something too on the side, then obviously they can charge more depending on what service they're doing. 500,000 or 700,000 is a price that makes sense. What is best really is if you go to malukat place where you have to pay for the offerings, but then for the service that they are offering you with the cloth and with the guiding, that is donation based. That would obviously be the best, but I'm not so sure where exactly they do that. Okay, anyways, what's really interesting here that I want to highlight is, and this will be the end of the episode, what's really interesting to highlight is this respect for water. And I think this is a reflection not just for the tourist, but also not only for the expats, but also for especially the Balinese, right? We have so much respect for water, and the Balinese revere water so much, yet water pollution and river pollution and ocean pollution is a whole other topic and a giant demonic monster that attacks the Balinese, right? Pollution of the water is something that seriously needs to be taken care of. If we are venerating and respecting water so much so that we bring offerings and purify ourselves and we're so dependent on it, why not protect it environmentally as well? So I think that's just like a food for thought that we can take. Obviously, I'm not going to tell you how to do it. I think you all know how to take care of the water systems. Plus, I don't think you're the right audience either who needs to hear this. But anyways, that's another thing to consider. So if you are doing the malukat ceremony with a Balinese family or a Balinese guide, make sure you tell them, I respect your culture so much, I respect the water so much, I hope you're also taking care of water. Please make sure you don't pollute the river. Please make sure you don't pollute the ocean. And you can give them tips that are more practical. You have the right to do so and to remind them about it. Because you're already partaking in their culture and you're appreciating so much, you also make an effort not only to pay for the experience, but also to make sure that it's there to last for the Balinese in time to come, in years to come. Okay, so that's the episode on Malukat. Let me just wrap up, right? So Malukat is done by the Balinese as well as guests who come to Bali, not only exclusively for Hindus. Malukat is done to purify the body physically, because it is literally water and you're bathing in water. Makes sense, right? However, besides that, you're also refreshing yourself. You're also cleansing yourself spiritually by neutralizing the elements within you, by transforming the negative energies back into energy, recycling it back into the universe. I know this all sounds really high and really philosophical, but I guess that's what you expect when you hear an episode of Being Bali. Thank you so much, and this is Being Bali.